First of all, thank you for sharing your mother stories last week on Mother's Day. A lot of us have been talking about them and sharing them with people who weren't here. That service is on the church website. If you want to hear it, if you missed it, there's a link from the homepage. Today's title, Can You Find God in Church? I want to tell you how that came about, but first let's just stipulate, yes, God is everywhere, everything, one presence, one power. We know that. It's just too long for a title. It won't fit to say, can you find an inner awareness of the divine presence that placed the stars in the cosmos and lives in you with every breath when you're in church? But that's what it means. This came out of a conversation with a friend who I consider to be very tapped in spiritually. She's always in communication with her inner voice. She writes books about it. She's a Unity person, but she doesn't go to church much. And she told me she can't find God in church. And my first reaction was, wow, if she can't find God in church or feel the presence, even in Unity, in a non-traditional church, maybe there's something wrong with church. So I've given this a lot of thought the past few weeks and had some great conversations about it. And then yesterday, I posted the question on Facebook, can you find God in church? Or where do you experience the divine? And I got lots of answers from friends of different faiths, no faith, Unitics. So I will be including the voice of the people in today's talk. And of course, the short answer is everybody's different. Some people want quiet. Some people want arm-waving praise. Some want rock and roll. Some resonate to a pipe organ playing Bach. And some people feel the presence of God when Scripture is read from the Bible. So people experience the divine in different ways and places. And of course, it can happen anywhere. The important question is, where and how do you experience the divine? And are you getting enough of that? So let's define our terms. Some of you are thinking, well, I experience the divine all the time. Yes, and I'll bet there are times when you just overflow with love and gratitude and awe. Some of you have even had periods of love and oneness when you saw the web of the universe and the interconnection of life. The divine connection I'm talking about is not necessarily transcendent awareness. It's just those special times, those special moments when you feel, ah, all is well, I'm glad I'm here. It's thanks and wow from the three basic prayers. And let's define church. For this talk, it's a building where people gather on Sunday morning to sing, pray, and hear someone make a presentation. I know church can be defined more broadly, but I'm just talking today about your standard mental image of church. Part of the answer to can you find God in church hinges on whether you prefer your spirituality alone or in community. It can be both, of course, but they're different. Several of my Facebook friends said they experience God in nature. One talked about standing at the edge of the Grand Canyon with tears streaming down her face. I agree, a beautiful natural setting can evoke a spiritual experience, and we know that better than anyone, because we have both here on the hill. We get nature and church in one place. One friend said he likes empty churches. I do too. When you visit the cathedrals in Europe or any holy site, you can just feel centuries of prayer reverberating there with no distractions. Another friend said maybe it's a progression from alone to community. Maybe when you're new on a spiritual path, we might need alone time to be very quiet, to have just the right soft music playing, just the right color candle. And it's a way to train our minds to become still and our hearts to open. Then after a while, we can do that easily anywhere. Or at least we can be prepared to experience the divine anywhere. I'm not sure you can plan it. Others find it easier to tap into the divine in a group, or they need a ritual. And church is a great place to learn and use ritual. We have more ritual in Unity than we realize. It just doesn't involve wine and wafers. But some of the big ones are the burning bowl ceremony and the white stone ceremony that we do around the new year. But every week we hold hands for the peace song and we lift them up. We bless the children, which nourishes the child in us too, that might never have been accepted just the way you are. In this church, we make rituals of hugging, of singing Alleluia after the meditation, and in this church, potluck is a sacrament. I think rituals are best performed in groups, but you can create your own. Their purpose is an inner experience, so you're not just talking about it. For some, it depends on the size of the crowd. I hear all the time someone didn't like a particular church because it's too big or it's too small. Some people feel overlooked in a megachurch. Some feel too visible in a small church. I think it's important to distinguish between a community and a crowd. A crowd is a bunch of people who happen to be in the same place at the same time. A community is people who know and relate to each other, or at least have come together with a common purpose. If that's a community, then it can be big or small. And I'll never forget the previous minister at Unity of Phoenix said his congregation worried they were losing their family feeling when the attendance grew past 800. But it's that feeling we're after, a place or a structure or a group that is safe enough to open ourselves to divine experience. It might be your meditation chair at home, or the back porch, or the top of a mountain, or a 12-step meeting, or a Buddhist sangha, or a family dinner. So what good is church? I assume you have an answer to that because you're here. One woman in my unscientific Facebook poll said that the personalities of other people always end up ruining church for her. And she said, God doesn't communicate with us through bureaucracy, which always requires budgets and committees. I hope that's not true. First of all, there is no spot where God is not. And our board considers its work spiritual, even though we are focusing on the nuts and bolts of operating a nonprofit business. A well-run church becomes a container for spiritual experience and learning. I do understand her point about personal conflict in church. It happens at work and home, too. For some reason, people are surprised when it happens at church. And they pound on a table and tell me, we're supposed to be different. Yeah, well, we're still human. And a lot of people show up at church because they are carrying baggage and pain. None of us practice principle perfectly. Then there are the people who say they only go to church for the music. I agree, it is the best live music you can get without a cover charge. But I've had some judgments about those only music people. I have said going for the music makes them spectators. They're not participating. It's a show, and they're not engaged in the community. And then I realized if you ask me what most nourishes me in church, it's the music. Several ministers on my Facebook poll said, it's the music. And whether music rocks the house or sets the mood for meditation, it's facilitating an experience of God that we seek. It's that feeling we're after. And you can feel music in your chest and sometimes in your feet and shoulders. In Unity, we say to sing is to pray twice. And a friend who's in the Dallas choir said singing in church keeps her focused in the moment. And when you sing, when anyone sings, you set up a positive energetic flow through your physical body. One minister said it's everything in church. The prayer, the hugging, the music all seem to set the stage for the grand entrance of spirit. And only a few people mentioned the minister's message. But there were two ways that it serves them. One is to teach, to open their minds to new ideas, to give them ahas. But mostly, it was hearing someone put into words what they already knew and felt. And that was my experience when I returned to church after 20 years and came to Unity. I thought, oh my gosh, here's a whole room full of people who believe what I believe. I thought I was the only one. And I started hearing not just words to describe it, but to go further, to deepen my understanding. My ahas are when I realize that what I'm going through is not unique and God is in the midst of it. I get a glimpse of how the divine is showing up in my life and how much more power I have than I realized. And at church, I get to hear other people's experience of that too. I used to say if I did my job well, I would have no job. Everybody would be out living in divine consciousness. They wouldn't need church anymore. I think now there will always be a place for spiritual community. Yes, you can be spiritual alone, and you can create community in all sorts of non-church ways. It may not be in a building on Sunday morning, but we will always look for ways to share the journey, the human experience. Then there's meditation and prayer as a group. A Unity Church is where I learned to meditate. It's where I first heard about meditation. And I got to practice every week as the minister led the meditation in the service. So there's a teaching and learning opportunity at church, but there's also the power of group consciousness where two or more are gathered. We pray with and for each other. And I'm going to talk about that next week because a couple of you have asked me, what do you mean when you say we are a praying church? They wanted to know if they're not on the official prayer team, is there something they're supposed to be doing? So we'll talk about that. This little three-week series that I'm starting today might seem like it's about church. It's really about mysticism. How do you have a direct experience of the divine? We might learn about that in church, but how do we move from mental to mystical? So anyway, back to spirituality alone or in groups. You know what an introvert I am, but even I feel spiritual power when people come together in consciousness. I go deeper in meditation when I'm in a group. One of the ministers on Facebook, well, you know, Jill Carey in Austin. She said, if the Holy Spirit is the activity of God on earth, and I'm paraphrasing Jill here, if it's a living, moving presence, then people coming together magnifies that activity and our awareness of it. You can experience the energetic, tangible essence of God together that you might not get alone. Another friend said, church facilitates a reunion with God. One person complained that church is too social, and that's distracting. But another one said, if you see the church building as a sacred space, you're opening yourself up to experience the divine there. Which got me thinking about church as a container. It's an hour dedicated to spiritual focus, and my job with the musicians and others is to create a container or a sacred space in consciousness where you might experience the divine. Music, message, meditation. And you might notice we have that container within the service. Starts with the song before my talk. Then message, meditation. We sing Alleluia as part of the meditation. And then music again. There's always a special song after the talk that sort of synthesizes the message. Ideally, that segment of the service presents a whole cohesive message and allows a deepening of your experience. Music, message, meditation, music. This is why I ask the potluck team not to get up during the song after the talk. I know they have to go get ready, but I would ask all of you to remain still for those three or four more minutes because we're still in the sacred container. Now, by the time we get to applause at the end of that song, the energy is back up and you can feel us shifting gears to start wrapping up the service, offering kids closing song. I hope that's how it feels to you. I think Kit and our guest musicians do an incredible job of matching the music to the message. So I hope you leave church every week able to tell someone else what it was about. Because we've all been to church when you couldn't. So we're back to, how do you know when you're feeling the presence of the divine? What facilitates a feeling of connection? What helps you? There's value in community and in being alone. You can have a mystical experience in church or the grocery store. So let me read you the story of one friend, Laura Zulke, who lives in Austin. She answered my Facebook question about where you find God. She said, not long ago, I was running late to Sunday service at Unity Church of the Hills. There I was, cursing and frustrated at hitting every red light, knowing I'd miss the opening song because I'd be late. And then suddenly it was as if Spirit tapped me on the shoulder and whispered this message. Relax, Laura. You don't go to church for me. You go to church for you. Church is just a building where you can quiet your mind and invite in the connection. She says, it made me laugh at the irony of how frantic I was to get to church to find peace. When God so humorously reminded me, I was already at church, right there at the red light in my SUV. Church is everywhere. The divine is everywhere. You can't miss it. You just have to pay a little bit of attention and be open to it. So whatever elevates your spirit, do that. Whatever makes you feel the presence of God, do that. Whatever meets your needs, get them met. I hope sometimes it's church. I hope church gives you something to carry into your week and use every day. One friend said church is like rebooting a computer. You come out fresh and unfrozen. You can have do-it-yourself spirituality, too. Take the principles and practice them. There's no hierarchy, no committees, and God is not judging your performance. Just remember to give yourself a chance to have an experience of the divine. So if you say it's nature for you, remember to get off the pavement. If it's music, sing along. If it's prayer, there are so many ways to pray. We'll devote a whole week to it next week. Just take stock in your life about how often and how deeply you feel your own divinity and your presence within all that is. You feel yourself immersed in pure being, overflowing with love and gratitude. I invite you this week just to notice what opens you to those special experiences and do more of that. So let's take these thoughts into meditation. We meditate simply by relaxing, becoming still, maybe breathing. When I was learning to meditate at Unity of Fairfax, the minister Jill St. John would say, breathe in God and breathe out stress. Breathe in love. And breathe out conflict, anger, resentment. Let it all go. Breathe in light. Breathe out doubt or fear. Imagine as you breathe that you are filling yourself with the divine. But of course, it's already there. Breath just reminds us that the life force is moving through us all the time. That we are animated by the breath of spirit. That with every breath we take, we are being God on the earth. We are expressing the divine as human beings, just as Jesus did. Charles Fillmore said, we are now immersed in pure being. So take a moment just to feel yourself, filled and surrounded with the one presence and one power in the universe. Thank you. as you breathe again, know that you can take this grace and power with you into the week. You are never separate from God. You have all the attributes of the divine hardwired into you, available for your use. Remember to ask. Remember to open up and to notice every little divine experience in your life. And so it is. Amen.
Hallelujah.